up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble falling asleep, getting to sleep. Welcome. I hope, I believe you're in the right place. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. We're going to do the rest. What is the rest? Well, I'm going to distract you from whatever's running through your brain, whatever's racing through your mind, whatever's got you tossing and turning, whatever rigmarole your thoughts are, brain stuff. That's what I like. It's the easiest way to say it. Brain-related. BRAs, maybe? Brain-related annoyances? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Something like that. Whatever's running through your brain at like a mile a minute. And meanwhile, you're like, hey man, I'm trying to get to sleep. I'm going to distract you from that. Tonight, I'm just going to talk. I'm going to talk about a recipe. And it's going to be real slow. And I'll say, hey, you know, what's up with chickpeas? What is it? Is it a is it a westernization? Was it a garbanzo bean? And someone's like, oh, no, I don't buy those. But chickpeas I love. I love those chickpeas. But those people with their garbanzo beans, that would be. And then I'd say, well, I don't know, Grandma. Let me look into this for you. Turns out they're the same thing, Grandma. Oh, no, they're not. Oh, no, they're not. First of all, the chickpea is whatever. So that would be kind of what the podcast could be like. But it'll be even slower than that. And you just listen, and I'll drone on. I'll lull on. I'm going to give you the pointless meanders that you need. You just listen a little bit. I'm like your friend that came over. I guess like a kindly old woman that you don't have, you know, that's not a member of your family. So you have like hot button issues with them, like your roommate's mother that you find so amusing, even though she's like, oh, God, she's here. She's spending the night. Did you know my mother talks all night? Meanwhile, you're like, I love it. She talks about chickpeas one night for 12 hours. I never slept better. So that's me, a crazed old woman, talking about chickpeas and saying, pejoratives about people that use garbanzo beans. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I'd erase that, maybe I'm not that woman, but maybe I play her in some nights. But that's it. If that made any sense to you, congratulations. The podcast is 100% for you. If it didn't, try out the podcast, see what you think. It's here to help you fall asleep, to distract you from whatever you're worrying about or thinking about, and let you drift off into dreamland. I hope it works for you, because I got nothing to lose. You know, if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, I'm sorry. I hope you, honestly, I've suffered a lot on sleepless nights, so I hope you find something that does. If you want to check out our show notes or older episodes, we're at www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you want to get a hold of us, the best way to do that, Twitter's pretty good, @DearScooter. Facebook's good, Sleep With Me Podcast on Facebook. You can comment on the website. You can email me, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. I love hearing from you guys. It'd be great if you have anything to say or share. It helps me keep it going, get over the self-critical hump that keeps, you know, would impede me being boring. I'm a perfectionist when it comes to this boring stuff, believe me. I'm like I don't know what I'm like, because it's not a, but anyway, I'm here to help you fall asleep. I hope I do that. If you want to help out the show, best way to do that is join our One Listener Initiative, and I'll put on my faking voice hat, where I say, hey, if you want to join the One Listener Initiative, you can help this podcast by just helping us find one listener for 1% of you. Listening right at this moment tomorrow. Find just one person that says, hey, and you listen to them and they say, oh boy, Larry, you wouldn't believe my toe fungus has got me so worried that I just can't sleep. I'm like tossing and turning. And it's like, you know, I'm like, should I get lasers or should I just do over the counter? Or what is that medicine I heard about? I heard it gives you purple spots, though, in your eyes. And then you say, no, no, Larry, that's purple spots on your skin, I heard. What about Brad, remember? You say, oh, no, yeah, can you be fired for having purple spots? Well, technically you can because, you know, we are, you know, we do, I don't know, our job requires us not to be spotted. But anyway, you know, I know you have a strange sense of humor, so I listen to this podcast. It's about this guy. He kind of just talks. We call it, you know, gives people the lulls, he says. And he just chatters on. It might help you sleep. It may, you know, keep you from thinking about that toe fungus or the purple spots or that laser beam. I heard from Janet that the laser beam, her nails were too shiny. It shot off and burned off some of her forehead hair, which was a bonus, but, you know, left, but not all of it. So it's, that makes it more weird. But they might, you know, the good news for the corporation that created the toe fungus laser, because that is, hair, forehead de-hairifier is a big deal. But yeah, you should check it out. So if 1% of you guys can come up with something more succinct than that to share with another person, you say, hey, you can't sleep, check this out. It might work for you, it might not. I hope it does. But I like this podcast, helps me sleep, or this guy's like generally not irritating most of the time, except when he, you know, talks about weird stuff like toe funguses. But you know, that's it. The podcast will work out just fine if we have, you know, 1% of you tell somebody about the podcast tomorrow. It would be better than just fine, I think. And you know, that's it. So if you want to help the podcast, let somebody know. I know a ton of you have, and I thank you so much for that. So, yeah, just let somebody know, and I appreciate it. Thanks so much, and I hope I help you fall asleep. Thank you. So I'd like to thank Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who does our music. Scotty and Jennifer, who are responsible for layers of purple and purpleness and the smiling smiles of our artwork. Lord and Lady, Defrenish, Schrader, Silvertone, Baroness, Funders from Down Under. I don't think I've heard from the Funders, but I'll check in on them. General, I haven't heard from you. All the other named people. I got a lot of new people to thank, though. I want to thank Elisa for the email. Southern Girl Beth Ann for the email. Thank you both for lifting my spirits. Mark T for the freaking... I'm going to share it on Twitter and Facebook, but a wonderful little gift. Thanks, Mark, and a wonderful letter. And yeah, I'll figure out. I'll get back to you. Good news, bad news, I'll get back to you, though. One thing, the Divine Miss M also sent me a couple of cool things in the mail. Thank you. Laura S. over on Facebook. Grant. Joseph H. Sharon, like a sharer. Joel. Chris M, Flannery, Faye, all you know, bringing me smiles and, you know, bringing me smiles and helping break through my, I guess you guys are breaking through my comfort zone too, in some sense. My uncomfortable, you're taking my frown, uncomfortable frown zone and turning it upside around, inside out, something. iTunes reviews, though, let's transition. Oh no, my phone just went out. Fiery butt sex. You got me there, fiery butt sex. Oh, it's S-E-C-T-S too. That's great. Fiery butt sex says this totally works. Well, they say this totally works. Fiery butt sex. They were having it February 21st, 2015. Fiery, that could mean a whole lot of different things. So, yeah, I guess most of which I don't want to think about, fiery butt sex. But they also say they don't write reviews. That's always a great review. Thank you. Say slip, sleep aid, help you drift off. Might sound like the ramblings of a maniac, but if you dig deeper, you realize it's the ravings. They say something, ravings of a lunatic, is a egomaniacal lunatic. And it could be engrossing and boring, of course, listening to that type of person. I'm like the J.K. Simmons of, well, I'm nothing like that character, except in my egomaniacal search for what is boring. I don't even know. Give it a shot. Hell, it's free. And then KML Groton. KML Groton. That sounds like a ship, like a shipping ship. You know, where the hell's my Fitbit? Oh, it's off the coast in the KML. It's in the KML Groton. KML Groton says something real nice. He says we're good. Sorry, listen, a few weeks ago, no longer dread going to bed. Wake up, put it back to sleep. Not sure if it's my voice or my rambling. Neither. It is the soothing tones of my neighbors doing laundry. That's the secret of the podcast. It's out now. Or sometimes if I forgot I was recording the podcast, I already started the laundry. Or at night, like tonight, it's like, oh dear, I should have started laundry because I'm going to need it tomorrow's Monday. Oh boy. What am I going to do? Anyway, thank you, guys. That's a problem you guys can't help me with. All I can say is thank you and you're welcome. All right. Hey, everybody. I was thinking, what are we going to do? It's the long President's Day weekend. It's Sunday night. I don't have any idea. It's Sunday afternoon. And I was thinking, well, we gotta pack in some extra recordings here. I was like, okay, let's do another real-time recipe because I'm pretty sure I haven't covered this recipe. I was trying to review the real-time recipes in my head because I didn't think to do it before I sat down and recorded. But I'm pretty sure we did the flatbread pizza one, meatball one, and then the creamy pasta one. I hope I didn't do this already. If I did, I guess I'll make this into a bonus episode. But so it's time for another real-time recipe. This is a little recipe called breadcrumb. What do we call it? I guess I'll think of it. Hopefully I'll think of a gooder name, better. Hopefully I'll think of a more interesting name. But it's olive and chicken breadcrumb pasta. And I don't know. I never even heard of this breadcrumb pasta till about 6 months. Now I'm getting deja vu. We already record this? I don't know. It's too, you know, we're behind the mic now. I had dinner at my brother's girlfriend's sister's house. I think that's where it was. And they had served breadcrumb pasta. And I said, wow, I don't know if I've had this before. And I'm not exactly Don Juan DeMarco of restaurants. So it's not like I'm going out to eat all the time. And if I go out to eat, there's about a 98% chance I'm not ordering pasta because, you know, I'm not going to. But anyway, it was good. And I said, I'm going to make this again. Very family friendly. But also, this wasn't a dating situation. But, you know, if you were on it, I think if you were cooking for a third or fourth or fifth date, this would be a good meal to cook. Kids would eat this. A lot of kids would. Kids that like olives, but you could always take the olives out if they don't like olives and add something else in. But so this is a breadcrumb chicken olive pasta is what I'm calling it for now. B-A, bread. Breadcrumbs in one word. Breadcrumb chicken olive. B. Bread. Chicken. B-C-O-P or B-double-C-O-P. B-cop. Yeah, B-cop. B-cop. B-cop recipe. You want to be a cop? Well, you eat some B-cop. So it's, we're going to, why don't we, let's get my magical car and I'll meet you at the entrance to, there we are. We're at Trader Joe's. Hi. Good to see you again. Let's head in. You bring in a cart. Thank you. Quick question. I don't know. Are you a cart sterilizer or non-sterilizer? No judgment, just pure curiosity. Okay. And why? What's your theory? Interesting. Oh, wow. I never even thought about it that way. Brilliant, brilliant. Well, let's go in here. We're going to hang right as we always do because that's the nature of this layout of this particular store. And we're going to, I don't have a shopping list, believe it or not. I said, let's wing it. We're going to hang. We're going to roll past the vegetables and past the cheeses and lunch and meats, prepared foods. I think they call that section there. I'm going to take this right, left. I guess this is a left. But really, we're not turning. We're just following the layout of the store. And we're going to come up here in the chicken meat section. We're going to grab the one of those packages of chicken thighs, all natural chicken thighs. And this might, you know, open up some debate that I say, well, you know, I'm not sure I'm quite in the, income bracket for organic chicken thighs. And they're boneless, by the way. And, but, you know, I don't even know if Trader Joe's sells non-natural. Well, I don't even know what it means, but I buy it. And you might say, well, what about heart disease? What about cholesterol? What about, you know, high-protein chicken breasts, low-fat? I say, well, a couple of things about it I've noticed over time. I'm glad you brought that up. It's a good question. Is the chicken thighs, one, they're easier to cook. Two, they cook their own fat, means you don't have to use any extra fat, even though we'd use probably olive oil. Yeah, they're thinner, so they cook through without a problem. They don't overcook because of their fat content, in my opinion. If you don't salt and pepper them before cooking, they don't, you know, you can, they don't do, they do just fine. Whereas the chicken breast, you know, it can get dry. It's that you got to pound it out, maybe you got to salt it. Or, you know, I find the thighs, and they're more flavorful, in my opinion. I figure, here's my two cents here. If you're cooking at home, and overall this is going to be a fairly, I think chicken thighs. Now, I'm not a dietitian, I'm not a doctor, I can barely function in the outside world, but, you know, it's just my opinion. It's chicken, you know, more affordable, so. You know, what's going to keep our heart in better shape, frugality or, you know, low-fat chicken breast? I don't know. Maybe each person walks their own path, even in the supermarket, where there seems only one path. There's many different ways to navigate these aisles. So we got the chicken, basically. Now we're going to, let me rack my brain here. What's the next thing? Let's take a double left and just for run through the frozen food section. You know, see, check, they got any new ice cream in there? Yeah. Okay, keep an eye out because I hate to, you know, we were just talking about health. Now, if you want a treat, I tried these. There they are. The butter cookie with... the cookie butter in between those, you could grab those or not. They tend to be devilish. I tend to eat, they come in, there's three sections each box. I think the recommended dosage is two cookies. Not possible in my opinion, but they're good. I'll probably burn out of them pretty soon. I'm on my second box. But, you know, grab those if you want a treat. Okay, we're going to come to the end of this frozen food aisle. We're going to hang a double right. Oh, wait a second. You're going to... Flowers. I don't think I've had flowers in my residence, my apartment in... Have I ever... I've had some lavender, which was a gift from a listener. And then some ragweed type flowers, which is a gift from a young child. But yeah, I don't know. That's a good idea. Hopefully I don't sneeze in your face or in your food. But you know, beautiful, beautiful, great idea. And, you know, okay. We're going to hang after you get those flowers. We're going to go here. We're going to see the breadcrumbs, which should look familiar to you as we've purchased them here before. You could purchase chicken thighs and breadcrumbs almost anywhere. So this is pretty universal, but you got to grab those breadcrumbs. You may even have some at your house, but I don't know if I have any at mine. And then here's the olive section, olive and olive-related products here. Now, a couple of opinion points. One is... a couple opinion points. What was my point? I'm not an olive snob, but I would avoid canned olives for this recipe. They tend to be flavorless. and you really want an olive punch, these kamikata olives, or however you say it, kamalata olives, whatever, the ones that start with a K, I find those good. Let's buy a jar of those. There's two ones at this Trader Joe's. And I figured out that both weigh the same, even though the jars say different. One is like the net weight and one's the, but they have the jumbos and the regulars. I'm not sure there's a difference, but what you close your eyes and pick. Oh, great choice, great choice. So we got a jar of olives. And I know you might be saying, wow, this isn't exactly the cheapest recipe. You're right. But I usually can get a one dinner to two dinners and two to three lunches. If you get one dinner for two people, then you usually get a minimum of three more lunches out of that. So that's one, two, three, five total human meals for a minimum out of this recipe. So, and then here we go. We're in the same aisle. We got our pasta section. Now there's a good selection of pasta here. And this is this can be like, what do you got in your cupboard type recipe, but we could buy some spaghetti. They have this quinoa brown rice spaghetti. They have a whole, I always get something that's whole grain. I haven't tried the quinoa brown rice. Now I did look at the label. Strange irony is that the, whole wheat has more protein and fiber. So if you're worried about those chicken breasts, we might want to, now the quinoa brown rice has no gluten. So you got to decide what's going to be best for you. If you're having a guest, now you might say, well, I don't know about spaghetti, which I would agree with. If you want to get some of those, what are those called? Farfaralli or bows, Fusilis, I don't know what those are. Or maybe those are bows. Maybe everything that starts with an F is like a size of bow. But there's the spiral guys. Those are good. You could go with an elbow macaroni, though. That can be confusing for most people as they associate elbow macaroni with macaroni and cheese or some sort of a casserole dish. But that's your opinion. You know, I'm not here to judge you on your pasta choices, but let's go with, you know, let's wing it. We'll buy a thing of spaghetti, anything of those, whatever the hell they're called, the ones that look like a corkscrew type thing. And then, you know, whatever, we'll cook it. We'll just decide on one. Now, again, before we leave this aisle, another couple notes we should discuss here is how olive-y are you is a question, because I tend to be, when it comes to olives, I like to say, I love it. And I love the opportunity to say, I love it. But I do. I love the taste of olives. So, and then you say, well, who are you cooking for? Do they like olives? So I usually get this like olive teppanyan, I think they call it. I think they have one or two different ones here, a green and a black olive. Grab one of those, and then you can say, well, this isn't quite olive enough for me. Let me toss some of this in there. And then you can keep it in your fridge, use it on pizza, whatever. I don't know what a teppanyan, I don't know if you'd have it on crackers. Might be good. I don't know. But, you know, any other olive, chopped olive and other things to situation, you could have that good to go. All right, let's get a little shot of coffee here, you know, get up the old. Oh, yeah, don't ask me about that girl that works here because, well, we already talked about it, her boyfriend. She doesn't work here anymore, so I don't even get to have a faux romance with her. Shopping in your store and making eye contact with you once while I shop there, faux romance. But you know, I'm believe it or not, I'm shopping for another crush that works here. I have a couple candidates, but I don't want to out them because it's like, well, I'm like, is she a candidate? I don't know, and not in a judgment. Like it's like a. They have some beautiful, beautiful people working here. But it's just like, what if I have to ask a lot of what ifs? What if we double eye contact? Or again, I'm insane. So it's like, well, we already locked eye contact for a little too long. So does that exclude that person because, you know, the possibility of them being attracted to me is definitely, you know, not attractive. I know that sounds insane, but, you know, that's just, you know. So anyway, let's give our card a once over here. So we have chicken pasta, breadcrumbs. Oh, olive oil. Can you grab a thing of olive oil just in case? I know just to cover all the bases. You choose. You know, I would choose the Spanish olive oil, but you can choose whatever you wish. Okay, so let's see. Olive oil, breadcrumbs, chicken, pasta, olives. The one thing we might want to grab, you got to decide this. These breadcrumbs are not seasoned, so you could buy that. They have like a 21 seasoning saute or something. They have Trader Joe's. You could get that, or you could just make up your own little seasoning packet to season the breadcrumbs. But you probably want some seasoning. In my opinion, I would just grab that seasoning saute thing. And I think we're good. I may be forgetting something, but I can always invent it out of thin air. So let's. I'll meet you back at my place. I'll be, you know, warming the water up in the cast iron grill that I use for my chicken breast. In the cast iron grill I use for the chicken thighs that we used for the meatballs. All right. Well, hey, come on in. Those flowers smell great. Oh, good to see you. Welcome. And no, there won't be any celebrities coming tonight. I'm sorry that. I don't know. There could be, but I'm doubtful because I didn't invite any. Though last time I, you know, it was a surprise that when Andrew McCartney showed up and Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, was Emilio there? I can't remember if Emilio was there. Wouldn't it be wild if the cast of Young Guns showed up to help us make this pasta? Yeah, I mean, it could be unpredictable. You're right with Charlie. I hope he's well. I do, honestly. Well, that killed him. Sorry. I mean, who would have known a Young Guns reference would have killed? How's Lou Diamond doing, you think? Well, yeah, it really killed it. You'd think you'd bring up Young Guns, it would be safe for a good transition, but it wasn't. But those flowers look great. You look great. And the chicken thighs don't look great because they're uncooked. But so let's get ready. We're going to fire up my cast iron grill that I use, a two-sided guy. We're going to use the grill side. And then we're going to spray it with a little olive oil, canola oil, whatever. And we're going to start the water boiling here. I already got it on the verge of a boil, believe it or not. And we're going to put the thighs on. You know, the water's boiling. We're going to throw it in, the pasta in there. I decided on the curly Q. I don't know. I can't read the packaging since it's in my imagination. It keeps, it's like a dream. It says flawfleen pasta. So praline pasta. Oh, those were the pralines we had last time, or whatever the proper pronunciation is, Mr. Pasta. Trader Giotto, excuse me. Trader Giotto, please do not, ban me from your kingdom of, So anyway, no need to have jokes at fake Trader Joe's character's expense, because what if they turned around and started writing, making fun of my podcast in wonderful chalk art? In a display. Well, that wouldn't be, might be good for the podcast. Well, yeah. Figure out all the people that walk into Trader Joe's in a day, probably 20% have trouble sleeping, admit they have trouble sleeping, probably 50% actually do. Well, that's 50%, probably less than 1% this podcast would fly, you know, but that's okay. It's not everybody's cup of tea. So I thought while we're waiting for the pasta to boil, we got about 11 minutes here. Chicken thighs are going to cook at actually the same rate. I usually do about 5 minutes a side, maybe less. I figure I was thinking I had a couple things in my mind I want to talk about. Non-romance. I know last time we talked about, stuff, wonderful stuff. But I was thinking about earthquake kits and, and disaster. I guess it would be in a general word, it'd be disaster kits, snowbound kit, power outage kit, unexpected situation kits, because I've really been slacking and I've been lately I've been like, okay, let's step up and actually do this thing. And I've been noticing some, I don't know if it's internal resistance or laziness. So I want to run some earthquake kit ideas by you and see maybe when you fly back to the wonderful place you're from, you're my neighbor. Sorry, I forgot that. Imaginary, if you think about, maybe we could exchange ideas, because it's like the big one they say is coming. And you might be prepared for it, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know about buying a pre-prepared kit, because then I'm like, well, what? Then I get distracted, and it's like, well, I also need a new pair of pants that I haven't bought yet either. And then I'm like, well, I actually need some socks. I haven't bought those. So what were we talking about again? That's what goes on in my mind, not with us. So here's what I've done so far, which isn't much. I filled up 12 these liter plus bottles of sparkling water that I actually buy at Trader Joe's, because I love drinking those. And I was like, originally I was like, because I think you need a gallon of water a day per person. For earthquake, they recommend about 3 or 4 days of water. But I don't want to bring up Katrina, but when you think about Katrina, I think that's the kind of disaster you got to prepare for, where help is not going to be quickly on the way. So 3 days is probably not going to cut it. So I figure 7 days, but I figure that then that's when I probably why I don't have an earthquake kit done. So I figured I filled 12 of these up. I have no idea, because they're not 1/4, 1 liter. They're like 1.33 something. So I don't know. But I filled up 12 of those with water. Now, I didn't sterilize it. I looked on the internet. I was like, well, if you want to use them for drinking water, you got to sterilize them, mix one part bleach with this much. And I said, whoa, that's too much. That's just some math and bleach and what's on TV, what's on the internet, what's my dog doing? Oh, hi, puppy, let me pat your head. What? So I just filled them up with water. And actually, funny story, this whole thing about earthquakes, and they say, can animals predict earthquakes? My dog did predict our last earthquake we had. She was acting weird. And I said, why are you acting so weird, like weirder than normal? I can't remember what she was doing, but it was weird. Weirder, like she's a weird dog, but, I was like, that's weird for you. And then I said, oh, why were you acting up? Maybe it was crying at non-crying point. I don't know, but then hours later, there was an earthquake. So then the other night, she's doing the same thing. I can't remember what it was. And I say, you're acting weird. I better fill up these bottles that I never purified, but I've been holding on to with water. And I figured so they'd be like sanitation water for hand washing, bathroom usage, teeth brushing. Real, if things were really emergency, probably could clean the water somehow and drink it. So I got those. So that's my earthquake kit so far, is these 12 bottles of water, which you see here. Got them in a milk crate, which I, used milk crate. And I bought 4 gallon jugs of water. So that's it for right now for my earthquake kit. So I figured I got to get some more water, drinking water, like this water here. But it's like, this takes up so much space. I'm like, where am I going to put this? And then I'm like, I had a thing of peanut butter that I was going to use for the earthquake kit. But then I ran out of, how much almond butter is? How expensive is that stuff? What the hell? When the hell did that shoot up? Why couldn't I buy stock in that? I think it's like $7.50 a jar. Peanut butter's like $1 a jar for a generic. But I had a thing, a generic peanut butter I was going to put in the earthquake kit. And then I opened it and used it. And but I figured I'll get a peanut butter. That's, I think in a jar, you probably got a couple thousand calories. So that could be like breakfast, 2 spoonfuls of peanut butter. And I know it's a, we're thinking of earthquakes. So, and then I figure some tuna fish. But then it's like, oh God, tuna fish by itself. So maybe we find some, do you know any fast food places I could borrow as a, actually as a paying customer, get some lemon packets, you know, like 12 lemon packets for just my takeout today, some soy sauce, and then some hot sauce. If we had those, then tuna fish would be more edible, you know, because we'd be able to detunify it with the lemon, soy sauce, and the hot sauce. So I figured that would be good for a lunch. So you'd have peanut butter for breakfast, maybe get some Clif bars, and then, you know, that's your treat. So a snack, then tuna fish for lunch. Maybe get some canned vegetables, and then dinner, I guess it'd be tuna fish again. I think Trader Joe's now has, like, canned chicken or canned fish. Well, we already had fish, which is sounds, yeah, not good, but so. Then I got another thing I was thinking about these earthquake kits. It's like, do you, where do you put it, you know? It's an earthquake, right? So why have one earthquake kit? You know, I guess you'd say, well, why haven't zero? Correct, you got me on that. But it's like, I have these two old backpacks, which I have hidden under my desk at work. When I say hidden, just thrown under my desk at work. Probably be on my next employee evaluation. I did not realize till like 2 weeks ago, I was talking with someone at work. They're like, do you know they do cleanliness of your work area as part of your evaluation? And I said, oh, God, no, please, please tell me no. And they said, yeah. And I said, oh, oh boy, that's not good. So, but anyway, so I have those two backpacks. The reason they're, you know, they're older backpacks, you used them a lot for running clothes. So they have some mustiness to them. So what if you had an earthquake kit like scattered around? Like I have one in the, like I live in this 4-unit building. I have one in the closet here. And then let me check the time. Don't worry. I just looked and we still got a few more minutes of cooking. I already flipped the chicken. You know, like have one backpack, 1 gallon of water, peanut butter, Clif bars, tuna fish, corn, maybe. And then dinner, we still got to figure out the dinner protein, maybe like some Ensure type stuff, like type, and maybe some Gatorade, something else. Oh, and I have instant coffee. That's the other thing I already had. Peanut butter, instant coffee, and water. That's my earthquake kit currently. But I think I have one can of sardines somewhere. But so we'll have a backpack out in the, we don't have a garage. It's kind of like an overhang, and I don't have a car, but I could keep one out there. And then, what do you call it? Then keep one in here, like in a backpack, and then just have like a dried goods section in the kitchen here that if I would actually organize it, that'd probably be good for earthquake. Be like, okay, well, we still have some dried goods in here. I mean, you could eat cereal. The cereal's not open, you see in there. That's a frosted mini wheats maple. I like that. You could eat that for a couple days before it would go bad. I mean, it would be dry for sure. But, you know, it's a disaster prepare, you know, prep kit. So that's been on my mind. Okay, we got to take care of this pasta now. So we're going to drain off the water here. And I just want you to take some cold, like just run cold water through the pasta. I'm going to take the chicken off and chop up the chicken. And then I'm going to sprinkle some salt and some of the seasonings on here, the seasonings we got at Trader Joe's, and toss the chicken in that, in this bowl. And that'll be seasoned chicken now. Now we're going to put the, rinse out the pasta. We're going to use the same pan we cooked the pasta in to make the rest of the meal. You know, it's not a one pot meal. Probably but it'll end up in one pot, to get, you know, this pot. So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna need your help, believe it or not. That's a great job. The pasta's cooled. I'm gonna need you to now take the colander and then put it over this bowl here, and dump the olive juice into that bowl. So we save the olive juice, okay? And then I need you to chop those olives. Okay, great. Well, let me watch your wow, you have a technique. Is that class? Is that a Mironaise or whatever they call it? Mirepoix? Is that Poirot style? Yeah, you have knife skills. Very nice. So I have the chopped chicken here. I'm heating the pan back up, and I'm going to take this olive oil. I'm going to use like four or five glugs, which is maybe, I have no idea. See, it's a decent amount. Now you say, whoa, yeah, unhealthy zone. You're right. And then we're going to take 2/3 of a cup of this, breadcrumbs. And, you know, you might say, okay, maybe you want to add some garlic in ahead of time for a few minutes. You could do that, or some onion. That's a lot of work, though. That's why I just use the seasonings on the chicken. But we're going to put the olive oil's warm now. We're going to put the 2/3 of a cup of breadcrumb in the olive oil. We're going to stir it. Now, you got to make sure your olive oil point I did not make medium. The pan's already hot, so you probably don't need it too hot. You don't want to burn the breadcrumbs. You just want to cook them a little bit. Heat them up, like brown, lightly brown. They're already brown. So you just want to barely toast it, I guess. Barely. Okay, see how it's clumping, so we got to make sure to keep stirring. Oh, great job on the olives. Okay. Why don't you pop open the tapenade or whatever the hell they call that, the olive mix, and put a spoon in there just in case. Now, as the breadcrumbs go, now we're going to toss the chicken in, and we're going to mix that in with, and the chicken's almost going to get breaded in a sense, but there's so much olive oil in there, so we're just going to stir that. Heat it up, and the seasonings are going to get mixed in. Keep stirring, yeah. And then we used all the olives. We're going to shoot the olives in there, right? Okay, we're looking good. Keep stirring it. Yeah, and keep going. Yeah, it's good. It was good wrist skills, yeah. And then we're going to take the... what did I say? Maybe pasta. I just used half the chicken, you might notice. And we can use the rest later. As you might have noticed that as I went back in time to stop you from using all the chicken. You could use all of it. And if I wasn't doing a real time, I might use it all. And then you might even notice we went back in time again to say, hey, use half the bag of pasta, not the whole bag. Because half a bag of pasta will get you 4 or 5 meals, probably. But you could use the whole bag. I don't know. Sorry about that, I guess. Time machine malfunctioning. So that's good. So we got that going. So now we're back at present time. Half a bag of pasta, half the chicken. Pasta's in there. We're putting the pasta back in with the bowl with everything else. We're stirring. We're heating it through. And you'll notice it's getting coated with the breadcrumbs, the olives. And this is where you have to start to kind of be a cook or a chef. You're going to keep an eye on it. It's like, is that enough olive in there? Is that enough chicken? Do I need to add more chicken? Do I need to add some tapenade? Is it getting dry? Now, originally, breadcrumb pasta, where they'd say add more oil. And you want to have a good oil content. You'll see a sheen, but you won't have too much. But now is when you say, and the pot's going to be warm still. So every once in a while, just drop a little olive juice in there and then say, okay, that's giving us the liquidity. You don't want it to be like soaking any juices, but you don't want everything to be drying out either. You want it to have a general moistness, I guess, if that makes any sense. I'm not sure it does or not, but, and then give it a good stir. Now you're really working your forearms. It's almost like doing hammer curls or something. Yeah. And then let's add a little teppanyaki. Let's add a little more olive juice. I always end up using all the olive juice. But like I said, I'm an olive man. You know, I love it. But yeah, we're going to stir that in. And very nice job. Very, very good technique you have. The technique you have is like both classical, timeless, and a fusion of skill and beauty, if you don't mind me saying. But yeah, as we stir and get it through, and our moistness is looking good. Now it's hot. It's ready to serve, believe it or not. And then we come up to a couple more. Yeah, just scoop it out and we'll put it on a plate. You could do a bowl, a plate. You could serve it with a side of vegetables. I did not because, I guess normally if we could take the time machine back again, what I would do is have some broccoli. And when I drain the pasta, I would drain it into a bowl with the broccoli and just let the boiling water cook the broccoli. It doesn't usually always cook it. Cooks it to a little al dente broccoli level. But broccoli's healthy always. And that way you have, you're getting a broccoli, you're not, you're preparing for disaster by saving water in some sense, reusing it again, the pasta water on the broccoli. And a lot of recipes will tell you when you're making this type of stuff to reserve the pasta water, but we're using olive juice instead of water. It's also giving us more of a brine salt taste. So we're tasting, and then you could say, well, am I a cheese person or not? Now, I tend to gravitate to the side of like, well, this has got olives. So I don't know about Parmesan, but a lot of people are Parmesan, and I like my Parmesan, but I don't know what it is. I mean, I like olives on pizza, but something about, I just don't do it. I don't know why. I don't know what to tell you. But I do have Parmesan here. If you would like some, you're welcome to it. And wait a second. I hear something. Am I hearing that right? Do you hear that outside? It's singing. I'm a cowboy on a steel horse I ride, and I'm wanted dead or alive. Walk these streets with a six-string on my back. I'm not playing for keeps, and I might not make it back. I've been everywhere. Straveling tall, seen a million places, and I rocked them. Wait a second. Wait, is that Dylan McDermott? Holy, wait, come on in, man. Hey, surprise. Dylan McDermott, how are you doing, man? Oh, Dylan Mulrooney. Dermot Mulrooney, I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding, folks. It's Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulrooney. They're best friends, believe it or not. And, we'll talk for a minute. I know you're a young gun to me. So yeah. Where's the rest of Lou's coming? I think I hear a motorcycle. I would assume he would come on a motorcycle, on the back of a motorcycle. Okay. Well, that's kind of cool. Emilio, he's probably directing something. Oh, he's come. He's with Lou. Lou, he's giving Lou a ride. And Charlie, come on in, man. Yeah, have a seat. Yeah, wow, you look really good. No, listen, man. Don't say that. You can show your face here anytime you want. I mean, walk these streets with a six something on my back, man. So, you know, we're sustenance here, man. You know, we need you. This has got chicken thighs extra. There's some sort of omegas in there, probably. So have a seat. Guys, you guys all know each other. Well, Lou and Emilio are here. Great. Good to see you guys. Yeah, you know, Emilio, you know, I was in a protest one time with your dad. I'm not trying to name drop because walking behind him, a ways behind him, but I just want to say that because I really think he's a cool dude. Yeah, that was before he was president. And, it's just good to have you guys here. You know, you guys are like the, you guys are still the young guns. You're like the young at heart guns. Is that insulting? And then Dylan, you're like to me, you'll always be ready to spring a plan B on somebody. and frame somebody. And for me, you're always a member of the practice. But I know your new show's a hit. People are raving about it to me. They say, "Have you seen that show yet?" And I think I have a crush on Maggie Q, even though I haven't seen the show. So that's another thing. Emilio, what are you working on now? I'd love to hear about it, you know, off the air, and then I'll promote the hell out of it to the people I can. And Charlie, you know, you're in the right place right now, man. We're people that care about you. It's good to have you here. And you should check out my podcast, maybe. It's, I guess winning would not be a way to describe the sleeping. That's my imitation of you. Sleeping. What other ones did you have? You don't want to go there. It's dark times. Yeah, I understand. Lou, you're like the silent type, huh? You're laughing already, huh? Ba-da-da-da-da, Lou Diamond. Ba-da-da-da-da, Lou Diamond. How you doing? Welcome to our pasta dinner. That was from La Bamba. Yeah, you knew that. But yeah, I didn't say it was good. I said it was from La Bamba. Well, guys, let's enjoy this pasta. Hey, what do you guys think about being the young guns of disaster preparedness kits? We could do like a PSA together and spread the word about what do you guys think about peanut butter and a disaster kit? Is that great or what? Shelf stable? Is peanut butter shelf stable? And I guess my main concern would be can openers, because I can barely open a can with a can opener to begin with. But you guys like that, huh? Hey, Lou, you want some more olives? Well, McDermott wants some olives. Mulrooney. Hey, Dylan, did you chew tobacco regularly or just in that movie? Because whenever I think about that movie, I think about you chewing tobacco. Are we missing any of the young guns? I think we are. And I hear a strange sound. It sounds like something counting down because, he's not coming. Bummer. He's like Doc, right? Right? But you were Billy the Kid. He was Doc. He's not coming. That's a bummer. Because I heard that beep, beep, beep. And I was ready to be like, and Mr. Jack. Oh, he is. Mr. Jack Bauer. How you doing? You don't like to be called that. Why? It was great, Kiefer. Would you prefer I fixate on Lost Boys? No. Yeah, I'm just kidding, man. Good. Welcome. Good to see you. Are you an olive? What's your take on Parmesan? But speaking of young guns of disaster preparedness, you know, with fantastical disasters striking within every hour of a 24-hour period, multiple times, you would be the, you want to eat first before we talk about it. You've had enough of disasters. Yeah. Well, it's good to see you. I'm glad you guys are here, and I'm glad we made this pasta. I hope you enjoy it. Is that song from Young Guns or no? No. You're a young gun. I know there's a Young Guns song. Was that by Bon Jovi? Young Guns. We're the Young Guns. No, that's not how it goes. I can picture you guys on the planes and horses, Dermot spitting. Dermot Mulrooney, Dermot spitting tobacco, and you looking pensive, Doc, and Lou, you looking like the most compassionate one, Emilio, you looking, you had crazy eyes in that, you were like the original crazy eyes, and Charlie, you were like the strong silent, maybe not silent, you were like the, you were the face man, right? You still are, man. You look great. I'm serious. So that's it. I'm glad everybody made it to dinner. Steel horses, you guys ride. Well, I guess you and Emilio rode a steel horse here together. Is a steel horse, is it a bus or a motorcycle? What do you guys think about that? What's the, where do you stand? Okay. Well, yeah, we're going to talk. Let me go back to my other audience. Excuse me, guys. Hey, guys, I'm going to work on the Young Guns of Disaster Preparedness Program, which may or may not be launching ever, but we'll see. Well, you know, we'll see what I can, you know, get these guys into. And you just enjoy your pasta and enjoy your sleep. Hopefully you're sound asleep. You're dreaming of a newly reinvigorated Charlie and preparing peanut butter and fish and other things for, you know, in case of emergency. So thank you guys for listening, and I hope you're asleep. Good night.